It's not about proving you can do it once.
The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
It's about showing you can do it again.
Three ball, why not? Cash Money Middleton. And Giannis down the lane in a man slam.
It's Holiday. Floats it off the window. Good.
Let's talk Bucks.
We're going to listen to whatever, you know, Bud wants us to do, and we're going to go out there and compete.
Game recaps, analysis, and previewing every second of playoff basketball for the reigning champs. This is Bucks at 6 with Alex Stroph on ESPN Wisconsin and streaming on Wisconsin On Demand.
It is Bucks at 6:01 once again here across ESPN Wisconsin, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN in Madison. Where you'll hear game two later tonight with Dave Kane and Ben Brust. How you doing, everybody? Hope you're enjoying your Wednesday night. Alex Stroph hanging out with you as we get ready for game two. I'm so ready. I'm so over game one already, man. I mean, we talked about it quite a bit yesterday here on Bucks at 6, but I'm over it. I'm over the lackluster performance that was those final three quarters. The only thing I'm not over is that two-handed self-alley-oop slam by Giannis Antetokounmpo, which blew my mind on Sunday. But I'm sure we'll have a few more opportunities for Giannis to blow my mind throughout this series because I still feel the same way. This isn't much of a matchup. This isn't much of a test, right? Obviously, the Bulls aren't fully healthy, but the Bucks look really, really good at this time of year already. And they looked pretty solid for a team that hasn't played very well in game ones under Coach Mike Budenholzer. They looked good enough, and I think that's only going to help, you know, improve what's to come here the remainder of this series. But fun show ahead tonight. We'll be joined by Ben Brust, who will be on the call of tonight's Game 2 on the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network, 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee, and as I said, 100.5 ESPN if you're listening in Madison. He'll join us next segment, break it down a little bit, get his perspective on some things ahead of Game 2, tip it off at 8:30 tonight. We'll go around the NBA, some things to get into from a couple matchups last night, as well as previewing all Eastern Conference matchups tonight. Brooklyn and Boston tipping off momentarily here in Game 2 as Boston holds on to a 1-0 lead in that series. Game 2 at TD Garden tonight. Game 3 in the Philadelphia-Toronto series tonight as we cross the border, go to Canada. That game tips off as we come off the air at 7 o'clock. And then, as mentioned, the nightcap tonight. A late one. 8:30 p.m. for Bulls-Bucks. Chris Larson's running the show. Chris, I gotta ask you, is 8:30 p.m. too late for a Central Standard Time game? Because I've heard indeed, a lot of people complain.
Unless you're playing a team from the East Coast or the West Coast, you got to switch up that time frame. But for two central-located teams, 8:30 is way too late.
So will you stay up to watch the entirety of the game tonight, or are you going to go to bed and just wake up and see the result? What's your game plan tonight?
Watch a little bit and then wait for the result, because I got the Bucks winning by at least over 10 tonight, so...
See, I'm with you, Chris. I think it's going to be a dominant performance after kind of what I mentioned is a lackluster performance for most of Game 1, especially those final three quarters for Milwaukee. I do expect them to come out heavy, throw in some haymakers tonight against Chicago. And, you know, sports are fun, right? Because we always have fuel that adds to the fire. And the NBA playoffs is a damn big fire, right? Like, the fire is burning. There's a lot of intensity and, you know, just a lot of animosity, I guess, that goes into every NBA playoff series, here even in the first round. And Patrick Williams, who's a really solid young star for the Chicago Bulls, has had a really good year for them and has been really primarily been tasked with the task of guarding Giannis Antetokounmpo. Not an easy task. By the way, Patrick Williams quoted earlier today, this is from Rob Schaefer, who covers the Bulls for NBCS Chicago. Quote, this is Patrick Williams again of the Bulls. Quote, same as you get ready for anybody else, talking about Giannis. First of all, don't be scared. I feel like a lot of people in this league are scared or nervous to guard guys like that. He puts his pants on the same way I do. He's good, but he's not God, end quote. That's the Bulls' Patrick Williams talking on preparing to face Giannis in Game 2 tonight. Now, I like the attitude, right? Like, Patrick Williams is an NBA guy. He's a competitor. He gets after it. He understands the task at hand tonight when it comes to facing Giannis Antetokounmpo. But the part in there that I don't know I've ever heard before, he puts his pants on the same way I do. Do we know how true that is? Like, I put my pants on a similar, or like a certain way, right? Like
one leg at a time.
Yes, one leg at a time. But Giannis is 6'11", Chris. Like, I imagine putting on pants is not an easy task for him. I imagine it is a very complex, like, it's a very complex process. Oh, putting pants.
Especially when you have long legs like that. You don't want to, like, right. You might end up ripping the pants or something like that. Especially if you're wearing, right. He's wearing the skinny jeans maybe, too, so.
Right, so 6'11" is Giannis putting on his pants, which that's quite the visual to put in my head. You know, Patrick Williams is 4 inches shorter than him, Chris. He's only 4 inches taller than me at 6'7". So I actually don't think they put their pants on the same way. So I'm going to debunk that, even though I don't know how either of these guys put on their pants. I don't know why that was my starting point tonight. But I just found that quote so interesting. I like the attitude, but to say that he's not God... Yeah, you're right, but when it comes to NBA player status, especially the guys that are in the playoffs this year, there's no LeBron James, Giannis is the best of the best. He is as good as it gets right there with a guy like Kevin Durant in the NBA playoffs this year. So I like your attitude, Patrick, but it seems a little overconfident, a little hubris going on there for Patrick Williams. As he prepares to face Giannis Antetokounmpo tonight in Game 2. I want to hear from you tonight. What are you looking to change from Game 1 to Game 2? Obviously, you want Chris Middleton to step up, right? Like, I think that's the big one for me. Kind of a rough shooting night for him in Game 1. I want to see Chris Middleton step up the way he did when Giannis wasn't on the floor last year. I want to see Chris Middleton step up and be that true number two shot-making stud that we know he can be. But that's not the guy we saw in game number one. So I want to see Chris Middleton take a step up. And I want Giannis to continue to do Giannis things. And I don't know how he puts on his pants, but I imagine he's put on his big boy pants tonight to get ready to work and put the Bucks up 2-0 as we get ready for a game two tonight. Bulls-Bucks, 8:30 tip, 8 o'clock pregame on 620 WTMJ, the Bucks flagship, and, of course, Madison's home of the Bucks, 100.5 ESPN. I want to continue the conversation before we get to Ben Brust here in a few minutes around Giannis, because we know how special he is, right? We talked about it a bit yesterday. Two-time MVP, a Finals MVP, a Defensive Player of the Year, multiple-time All-NBA guy, a guy that's done all there is to do, essentially, in his young career, Giannis has. And now he's still doing things we've never seen. I talked about that self alley-oop on Sunday, which blew my mind. But Shaquille O'Neal also had some perspective on Giannis Antetokounmpo. He joined the Pivot podcast. I got to be honest, hadn't heard of what that was until I saw Shaq was on there today. But Shaq, a nice little 20-second clip talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo. A little perspective for all of you. Here's Shaquille O'Neal.
Giannis gets props. Everybody else, I don't want to hear no other names about what they're doing, how to Embiid, all that. Giannis gets props. Giannis play. He play hard. He play strong. He don't care about the next guy. He not trying to leave his little ass city and go to a big city and get more props. I messes with Giannis.
I messes with Giannis, says Shaquille O'Neal. I messes with Giannis too, Shaq. I also messes with Giannis because that guy, I mean, he mentioned the loyalty factor, right? Signing that Supermax deal he did about a year and a half ago now. Giannis is special, and we know what he means to the city of Milwaukee. We don't need to cover that right now. But I messes with Giannis because he is going to bring the Bucks to the same level he did last year. I'm very confident in this. I would be super surprised if the Milwaukee Bucks don't make a run to the NBA Finals. And I think that all starts tonight, right? You've got game one in the rear view now. It's time to focus on building the momentum you need to build to go on a nice run here. I don't think this is a tough matchup for the Bucks in round one. I think it's a good thing they got the 3 seed. They take the 6-seeded Bulls. And it's a team they've had so much success against the last several years. So I'm not worried about this series going 6-7 games because it's not going to. I messes with Giannis because Giannis doesn't mess with the opponent. Giannis is going to put an end to this, and he is going, I think, another big game for Giannis tonight, especially seeing what Patrick Williams had to say earlier today. He puts his pants on the same way I do. He's good, but he's not God. Says Patrick Williams of the Bucks. I messes with Giannis too, Shaq. I'm excited to see what that's all about. But improvements are going to be needed, right? I mean, game one was not as pretty as you would have liked. game two is a nice chance to reset, recalibrate, and go after it, right? Do things the right way that you weren't able to. Shoot better. Put up better shots. Execute the offensive game plan a little bit sharper than you did. And we heard from Drew Holiday yesterday here on Bucks at 6 talking about some of that rust that maybe eased in towards the second, third, and fourth quarters of game one because of a five-day layoff. I get that. But now you got a couple-day layoff. Now you got to refocus, recalibrate, get back after it. Game two, 8:30 tonight. Bucks, Bulls. Want to give you the phone line now because we're going to talk to Ben Bruss next. But I do want to hear from you on the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. The number, 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. Shoot me a text. Who do you need to see step up? Besides Giannis, because we all messes with Giannis, who do you want to see step up into that number two role tonight? Is it Drew Holiday again? Is it Chris Middleton? Do you want to see improvement out of him like I do tonight in game two? 800-990-3776, the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. Get on there. Put that number in your phone. I want to get to you a bit later to your responses either on Twitter or on the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. Who do you need to see step up in game number two? We'll ask Ben Bruss, the color commentator for the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network. You also heard him just before us across ESPN Wisconsin, Scalzo and Bruss. We'll chat with him next. We'll talk all things Bucks Bulls game number two. It's Bucks at 6:11 across ESPN Wisconsin.
More Hoops Talk coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin. The Scalzo and Bruss train never stops. Jump on board.
I've said it many times before. I don't think Ben lacks intelligence. He just simply does not know things. So he will learn what a gnome is. He will be able to comprehend what a gnome is. He'll remember what a gnome is. He just has been naive and ignorant to much of what's been around him for a long time.
Scalzo and Bruss, presented by Bud Light. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 94.5 ESPN and available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
Oh yeah, roll it on, getting you ready for game two, Bucks Bulls Eastern Conference quarterfinals. It is Bucks at 6:16 across ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Strope hanging out with you until 7 o'clock. Excited to be joined now by my buddy. You hear him on the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network. You hear him each and every weekday on these stations on Scalzo and Brust. It is the goofball. He's good, but he's not God. It's Ben Bruss with us now, live at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill. That place rocks. Huge TV. Benny, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, and I actually disagree with Patrick Williams. I actually think Giannis is a god. He got that quote completely wrong. But the good news is I'm hanging out at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill, and I'm sure you can hear the vibe and the atmosphere in the background. There's nowhere better to watch a game of any sort, especially a Bucks game, if you don't stop by, because they have three experiences. You go to the MeccaMKE.com, and they offer pregame, game time, and postgame experiences for an unforgettable night in the set, like literally the center of the Deer District. You walk out and you see the beautiful photo last year of the five starters. This year it's Giannis, Drew, and Chris right on the center of the outside of the building. Tons of pictures being taken by that. But again, for the away games, Bango's making an appearance here, so the Ooh. Best spot for you to watch any game as the Bucks move through the playoffs.
That's awesome, Benny. How big is the TV there again?
I've officially, unofficially named it the Scalzo and Bruss 100-foot TV.
Wow. Yeah, that's a large TV. I'm going to be honest
with you. It's massive. There's nothing better. And then, by the way, they have like a ton of 55 to 65-inch TVs that look like they're 20-inch, but they're really nice TVs too.
There you go. Well, that's the Mecca right outside the Deer District. Go hang out there. The weather's not great in Milwaukee is what I hear, Ben. So we're going to be inside tonight partying. I saw the Deer District outside will not be happening tonight. So you can go inside the Mecca, enjoy those huge TVs, good food, good drinks, good people. Getting after it as the Bucks get after the Bulls here in game two. Ben Bruss with us. Ben, I want to get back to that Patrick Williams quote because it really made me laugh. He puts his pants on the same way I do. I'm 6'3". Giannis is 6'11". I have a hard time believing that I put my pants on the same way as Giannis does. Do you believe you put your pants on the same way Giannis does?
No. Nobody puts their pants the same way as Giannis does because he's Giannis. None of us are Giannis. Patrick Williams shouldn't be even comparing himself to Giannis. Like, I get the whole I'm young, I'm tough, I'm trying to, like, take on this challenge thing, but, like, come on, dude. He's a finals MVP who put up 50 against the Suns in Game 6, and you want to say you put your pants on the same way? You probably put your pants on backwards once a week, and Giannis is just perfect, and you'll never come anywhere near as close as great as Giannis. So just a stupid, like, just Patrick Williams, just let your play do something on the floor.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, 0 points from Giannis in the fourth quarter was in foul trouble, played about 8 minutes. But they have no answer for him. And you know what? I give Giannis a lot of credit because he didn't force a lot in game one. The double team came, he got rid of the basketball, and they made extra passes, and they got a lot of good looks. They shot 32% from three, which is crap. That ain't happening again. And I know you can point to DeRozan and Vucevic and LaVine, but guess what? They aren't the reigning world champions with an MVP. Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday in the Eastern Conference Finals last year closed out the Atlanta Hawks without Giannis. The Bulls have not beat Giannis since 2017. Take that in, Mr. Strofe. The Bulls have not beat Giannis since 2017. Have they beat the Bucks? Yes. Yes. Have they beat Giannis? No. So if Patrick Williams wants to say something, like even putting his name in the same sentence as Giannis, is crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, Benny, I'm going to make you feel a little bit old here. Spring of 2017, I was a senior in high school. Like, that's how long it's been since the Bucks Giannis has lost to the Bulls. But the record, even without Giannis, really good against the Bulls in the last 18 matchups. So pretty good shape overall. Ben Brust with us, color commentator on the Bucks Radio Network. You can hear him tonight alongside Dave Kane on 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee and here in Madison, 100.5 ESPN. If you're hearing us in Madison, you can listen to him right here. So, Ben, I talked about it in the last segment a bit. Chris Middleton, underwhelming performance in game one. 1 of 7 from outside. Not the Chris Middleton we're used to seeing. What do we need to see out of him to say, yeah, Chris, that was a really good performance? Is it as good as being the number two right behind Giannis? Is it just making a couple more of those threes? What do we need to see out of Chris, especially offensively, for us to call his performance a success?
Number two, number spoo. It's stupid. Like, he doesn't need to be a number two. He just needs to be Chris Middleton, the guy that can create shots and do it in more of a consistent manner. 7 turnovers is unacceptable. Drew Holiday didn't play well. Like, I don't walk away thinking, like, they need to do too much different from what they did in that game. There were some minor things, if we'll get deep into it. There was twice that Vucevic was one-on-one with Brook Lopez, and there are a handful of guys that I would name in the NBA that I would say, hey, maybe think about digging or, you know, trying to jump at him and jump back at your guy. Go one-on-one with Vucevic. Don't help off of the LaVines. Don't help off of the shooters that, you know, even I guess Kobe White is capable. Like, that's an adjustment that I want to see. Don't help. They got burned twice. Wes Matthews helped off LaVine. Easy inside-out three. They didn't make a lot of threes, but the ones they hit were ones where they just over-helped. And that is kind of their thing. If you're going to beat the Bucks, you're going to have to knock down threes. So offensively, I thought they actually played at times a really good game. They made a lot of right decisions, a lot of extra passes. They didn't knock down shots. When they lost trust in each other and tried to go a little bit more one-on-one, the Brooks, the Giannis's at times in that second and third quarter, that's what I didn't like. I think if they continue to trust the system that they have and trust the players that they have, look, this roster is better than what they won the world championship with. You have Bobby Portis coming off the bench, who played starter minutes and grew because Brook Lopez was out most of the year. Brook's playing his best basketball last four games. Prior to the first game against the Bulls, he had 5 rebounds and 3 blocks that he was averaging. And he had a good performance in the first and fourth quarter of that game. Drew Holiday did Drew Holiday things in the fourth quarter. They played as poorly as they could. They turned over 21 times. They got out offensive rebounded by the Bulls, and they still found a way to win with Giannis getting 0 points in the fourth quarter. So my worry level is at a zero. It's simply build off. I mean, Drew Holiday talked about it. He said it was rust. And you know what? I like that he said it was rust, because if you're going to point that it was rust, that means that you are going to come out, and if you don't play well, you can't point to rust anymore.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, you've addressed what your issue is, and if you don't fix that, that is on you as a leader and as a guy who's part of you know, both playing both ways. Like, at least they've addressed what they think is the issue. Now it's coming out and just burying them.
No, you're spot on, Ben, right? Like, you lose that excuse after you use it in game one, and now it's just a matter of trying to build that momentum, because that's what these early series are all about, right? I mean, you're not into the nitty-gritty of the playoffs, at least where we expect the Bucks to be in the next couple of weeks, quite yet. So this is just about building momentum, making easy work of the Chicago Bulls. Getting out of this series in four, at most five games, is the game plan. I want to talk about Brooke Lopez. We'll do that in a second.
Real quick on that, you know, the one thing that, like, is just something to think about. If this does go four, and I'm watching the Brooklyn-Boston game just in the corner of my eye on the massive big screen, if that series goes to seven and the Bucks take care of the Bulls in four, the Bucks have not proven to be a good game one team. And that could be due to the layoffs that they've had. And so I'm just curious to see if that game, if that series, the 2-7 series, goes seven games, what do the Bucks look like in game one against the winner of that series?
Yeah, fascinating stat I heard, and I talked about it a bit yesterday, Ben. 4-6 under Coach Mike Budenholzer in game ones now, right? If obviously they lose that first game on Sunday, it's then 3-7.
1-5 in the most recent.
Right, right. I mean, it's just a really odd stat, isn't it? Like, I don't know what you attribute that to. Could it be the rust that Drew Holiday alluded to? I don't know. But I want to talk about Giannis in that fourth quarter, because he did go scoreless. But also, I think the biggest headline of that game maybe was the fact that Mike Budenholzer pulled him out with about 90 seconds. He had five fouls, and he had confidence in Bobby Portis to do what he had to do and what he did defensively. But when he pulled Giannis out, what was your reaction? Because you were live on the broadcast. What did you think when that happened?
Well, I can tell you what I said on the broadcast. I looked up at the Jumbotron. I saw that the Bucks had two timeouts left. Giannis was standing at the TV broadcast scorers table right next to Bud. And I it was one of those things where I was like, all right, we got the ball. We can make this a two-possession game. Call timeout. You know, I said it more confidently. I think the Bucks should call a timeout and get Giannis there. But then when that didn't happen, I was like, what am I missing? You know, and I really don't think I was missing much. I thought it was a good opportunity to get Giannis back in there for a possession, especially with two timeouts. And if you score, you make it a two-possession game. And if Giannis fouls out at that point and enough time's ticked down, I didn't understand it, but, you know, at the end of the day, they found a way to win, and Bobby did get more experience down the stretch with Giannis out of the game. But I personally was looking at the scoreboard, seeing two timeouts, and thinking this is a perfect opportunity to get him in the game.
Ben Brust with us. You'll hear him on the call of Game 2 tonight alongside Dave Kane on the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network. Let's dive into Brooke Lopez. I mean, he didn't play a majority of the regular season, came back for a couple of those games towards the end of the regular season, and then comes out in Game 1, has a really solid game. I was really impressed with him. I knew what he was capable of because we've seen it before, but he looked really good in Game 1. What do you expect his role to be going forward? Just doing Brooke stuff, right? Looking at some of those open threes, working it inside a bit, and, you know, cleaning up the boards a bit. What do you expect his role to be?
You missed the most important part of Brooke Lopez, and that's his presence in the paint on the defensive end. Yeah, he gobbles up boards, and there's a reason why in November of this season Giannis was saying, I miss Brooke. that was 3 months before Brooke actually came back. And I think Giannis and Bobby both grew in many different ways. But, he just is able to keep bigs on his back and rebound and get that ball to the guards and so they can get out in transition. He deters ball handlers and drivers at the rim from not even shooting shots. And not to mention, when they do get to the rim, he will reject shots. So his presence defensively is felt. And it's a good matchup for him because the Bulls are a team that don't shoot a lot of threes. DeRozan's coming off a lot of ball screens. You see Drew Holiday and Wes Matthews go under that so they can try and get to him right away. And if they do turn the corner, Brooke is there. So it's not a drop coverage type situation that Brooke may be exposed in one-on-one situations. So continue to finish around the rim. Use that size. He still has it in him to finish around the rim. Knock down open threes. But ultimately, the defensive rating goes up when Brooke Lopez is on the floor for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Last one for you, Ben. You mentioned you're keeping an eye, as am I. I've got it on in front of me. Brooklyn, Boston, the winner of this series will likely play Milwaukee, who we assume will win the series against Chicago. Who would you rather see, right? We had a classic series again between Milwaukee and Brooklyn last year in the Eastern Conference semis. But we know Boston's a pretty good squad, too. Milwaukee obviously beat them towards the end of the regular season, kind of flexing those muscles before resting some of their starters those final couple games. Who would you rather see in round two, Brooklyn or Boston?
I say Boston. It scares me to say Boston only because I hate the idea of playing Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. I can't get myself to say, yes, I want to take on the guy who can create a shot at any moment and a guy who's a point guard that, you know, was 12 of 13 in the play-in round. Like, I know it's the play-in round, but, like, that's the capabilities that those two have offensively. Yeah, again, it's a really tough question, but my thing is, I have confidence that the Bucks are going to be harder to get out of seven games than either of those two teams. So I say that with confidence that think about what they're going to have to go against for seven games.
Yeah, that's fair. But I tend to take the stance of, right, Milwaukee isn't scared of anybody, right? They know that what they have to do. They've obviously been here before. So why not play Brooklyn? I know Kevin Durant's one of the best shot creators in NBA history, mentioned all the positives
of
Kyrie.
I hear you. I'm
not
scared of Brooklyn, but I'm scared of Kyrie and Kevin, if that makes any sense.
It doesn't, but you never do. Appreciate the time, Benny. Always great chatting with you. Have a great call tonight. We'll do it again next week, all right?
All right, later.
See you, buddy. That's Ben Brust. You'll hear him tonight on the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network, 620 WTMJ, 100.5 ESPN Madison, as well as some statewide affiliates. If you'll be on the road tonight, you'll hear him alongside Dave Kane on the call of game number two. We're getting you ready for game two. Bucks-Bulls tonight at Fiserv Forum. Oh, boy, it better be a little bit less choppy, a little bit cleaner than game one. That's all I'm hoping for. I'm confident it will be. We'll continue to dive into that as well as go around the NBA. That's next. It's Bucks at 6:30 across ESPN Wisconsin. Feeling funky on a Wednesday. It's Bucks at 6 here on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison. Alex Strofe hanging out with you till 7 o'clock, getting you ready for game number two between Chicago and Milwaukee. The I-94 not-so-rivalry, I think is what we're calling it. This ain't a rivalry. Let's not kid ourselves, right? Packers-Bears is a rivalry. Wisconsin-Chicago. Bucks and Bulls is not a rivalry. Let's not kid ourselves. Just a reminder, if you're heading down towards the stadium here in Milwaukee tonight, the Deer District Watch Party has been canceled. So maybe hit up our friends over at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill. Go hang out there. And if you'll be in the arena tonight, it is a whiteout giving out playoff T-shirts, Fear the Deer T-shirts, in Fiserv Forum tonight. So if you're in there, cheer loud, man. I mean, it's a big game tonight, right? We talk a lot about momentum in the first half hour of the program. Momentum's big in the NBA playoffs. I mean, it's big in any scenario, right, in sports, but especially in the NBA playoffs. You go up 2-0, that's a heck of a lot different than one game to one, right? I mean, I look at that Phoenix-New Orleans series. As I was watching that late last night, Devin Booker goes out for Phoenix. He's expected to miss at least two games. And New Orleans comes back and wins that game. Ties the series up at one game apiece. Series is going to New Orleans, and Phoenix doesn't have Devin Booker. So all of a sudden, the complexity of that series changes dramatically. I mean, it's I don't expect New Orleans to pull it off by any means, a team that's 10 games under 500 in the regular season. But without Devin Booker, Phoenix might be in for a longer series than they expected now with that series tied and going back to New Orleans. So going up 2-0 is bigger than you expect, even in a series like this that I think all of us expect the Bucks to win pretty handedly. It's time now to go around the NBA. Chris Larson running the show has gone through the headlines, has looked at some things across the NBA sphere. I love this music, Chris. I'm blown away by this. What do we got tonight?
This is the NBA Jam theme song.
Oh, man. Boom shakalaka.
He's on fire.
Yeah, nice, nice.
No, but looking around the NBA headlines, first let's head up to Minneapolis, where in Memphis, actually, where Ja Morant and Karl Anthony Towns' dads are still talking trash with a bet on the line. I don't know if you saw this or not. But yeah. During the games, they've been having a little back and forth about saying how about some fans are leaving early because they're trying to duck, the big lead and everything like that. Fans are leaving early. Memphis held a big lead, to which Morant playfully shot at him with the now famous "We ain't ducking no smoke." And they exchange some banter about how many wins each team's had in the postseason. And they actually have a bet on the line. If the Grizzlies win, then Cat Sr. will wear a John Morant jersey. And if the number 7 seeded Timberwolves win, Morant will wear a Karl Anthony Towns jersey. Here's a little bit of audio courtesy of NBA TV of them with the back and forth during an interview yesterday.
Are you a little nervous right now? Because Memphis right now
is about what? The last time they had a lead, I seen people leaving 5 minutes early. I don't know. The game wasn't even over yet.
Hey, them young people say that's all cap. That's all cap. He lying.
That's what makes it bad. They get a little lead. Now they want to talk. Half time, they'll be like, uh-oh, we scoring now.
We ain't had no lead. hey, look at this. Yeah. We ain't ducking no smoke. we just gave. First win, so y'all will feel like y'all was in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, guess what? Y'all ain't never won in the playoffs, so welcome back.
Hey, four.
Four what? Yeah.
Getting y'all out of here.
Yeah, you. Guess what? You know what this means? You got to catch up to our run. You're one behind.
No, we tied.
I got.
I think we're going to I got, beat up by 17.
It's 40.
Little playful banter there between the two dads of the two star players for each team. The Grizzlies, led by Morant's son, John Morant had poured in 23 points, 10 boards, and 9 assists. And the Grizzlies ended up beating the T-Wolves 124-96 in Game 2 to tie that series up one game apiece. Towns had 15 points and 11 boards for the Wolves. Game 3 Thursday night in Minneapolis.
Yeah, that was a fun game. I mean, Grizzlies really handled it, right? I mean, a 28-point victory, John Morant doing John Morant stuff. But that was the highlight of the game right there, Chris, where you just played what was the highlight of the game. And John Morant had a fantastic alley-oop in that game. But that was the highlight of the game. T. Morant, which is John Morant's father, and Karl Anthony Towns Sr. going back and forth. Is there a chance they get physical with one another? Because that seemed pretty heated, Chris. Like, is there a chance they may need to be separated from one another?
I think they're both going to hold their composure and not come to any fisticuffs or anything like that. So they got a bet on the line with the jersey and everything like that. It's kind of a small little bet, but it's just a little fun, playful banter back and forth between the two stars,
right?
So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of fun. That was the highlight of the game for me last night, though. Really fun stuff. And they said in there, right? Like, the Wolves haven't been to the playoffs in forever. The Grizzlies looked really good last night. Like I said, a 28-point victory. I imagine they'll take care of business. Game 1 was just a little bit of a slide. I think they'll win still in 5 or 6. What's next?
Next up on the docket here, we stick with the Eastern Conference here. Jimmy Butler says he's a different player now than he was during the torrid finals run when the NBA had the bubble. He scored 45 points last night to fuel the Heat's victory over the Hawks to take a 2-0 series lead in that one.
Yeah, so here's the difference between Jimmy Butler and a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's going to tell you he's better, right? He's not going to let the play do the talking. We heard Ben Brust allude to that a bit earlier, right? Just let your play talk for you. Let that be what says you're a different player than you were in the bubble. Jimmy Butler, by all means, is one of the better players in the NBA, and he certainly looked the part last night. As he mentioned, Chris, 45 points in a victory and two big back-to-back buckets late to really sealed the deal for them in the 10-point win at home. I think Miami's solid, but I talked about it a bit yesterday, too. I just don't view them as one of the stronger teams in the Eastern Conference, despite their ranking, right? Despite the seed next to their name, I don't view them as even a top-three team in the Eastern Conference right now. I'd take Philly, Boston, and Milwaukee ahead of them. Probably Brooklyn, too. But, he's solid. I don't know that he's a different player. He's certainly still very good, as he was then, too. So, let your play do the talking. Leave it on the court. Let your 45 speak for itself rather than, talking into a microphone saying you're a much better player, which you might be. I just don't need to hear it.
Yeah, moving on here, two big stories from the Western Conference last night, actually in the same game. The Suns' Devin Booker left the game last night. A loss to the Pelicans with a hamstring injury. He's going to miss games 3 and 4 against the Pels as well when they shift that series to New Orleans. But Brandon Ingram went off for 37 points, erupted for 37 to lead the Pels to a series evening win in that one. So with the series now shifting to the Big Easy and Devin Booker not playing in games 3 or 4, the Pels maybe have a little bit of a shot here, maybe.
Yeah, as I talked about, I jumped the gun a little bit on that one, right? I mean, it totally changes the complexity of that series, doesn't it? I mean, it's back to 1-1. You go back to what's going to be a rockin' New Orleans. I mean, that city's going to be partying like it's Mardi Gras week for Game 3. And you're tied up. No Devin Booker. The best player in that series, I don't even think it's debatably, the best player in that series is not in it for at least the short time being. So if New Orleans can steal a win in Game 3, we might be in for a 6 or 7-game series, which is nuts to me. I still think Phoenix wins, but that changes a lot of things. So that's why I think I mentioned it before. The Bucks getting a Game 2 win tonight is really important, because in that Game 3, when you go, when you become the visitors as the higher seed, it's possible that the home team steals a win. It just happens in the NBA playoffs sometimes. So it's a totally different series now without D-Book, and now it's tied up. But Brandon Ingram, Chris, he is that dude. Imagine what the Lakers could be like if they didn't ship everybody out of town. Think about all the guys all over the league right now.
All those guys.
So many names, that Caruso, right? Like, so many names you can throw out there that are shining elsewhere. Julius Randle, another guy, right? Like, guys all over the country that were formerly with the Lakers, who with LeBron James and Russell Westbrook couldn't even crack the playoffs this year. It's crazy to think about, but Brandon Ingram, he is that dude. He had that dunk in the fourth quarter where it just made you go, whoa, he is something special, man. So that was super entertaining. I really like Brandon Ingram, Chris. He's solid.
And that's it for going around the NBA from yesterday.
There you go. There's your score wrap-up. And tomorrow we'll be back for Bucks at 6. We'll talk all Eastern Conference all day long, because 3 games in the Eastern Conference today, as I mentioned a bit earlier. Brooklyn and Boston about to wrap up the first quarter, 32-21 with about 35 seconds left in the first quarter in that one. Brooklyn leads by 11. Coming up as we wrap up at 7 o'clock, Philly and Toronto, the 76ers with a 2-0 lead in that series. But we cross the border now. We go to Toronto, where the world champions from a couple years ago look to strike back against Joel Embiid and company. Again, a 7 o'clock tip for Philadelphia and Toronto. And the nightcap tonight, it's past Chris Larson's bedtime at 8:30 for the Bucks and the Bulls.
Definitely.
Too late for Chris. 8:30 tip for a Central Standard time zone. I'm really glad, though, Chris, we don't live on the Eastern time zone, because 9:30 is way too late for a game.
Just definitely way too late. Yeah, especially when they have those West Coast games and they start like at 11 o'clock at night or something like that. I just not deal with that.
You know, I'm actually not right there with you, because I'm a maniac. Like, I don't go to sleep until 2 or 3 a.m. pretty much every night. So okay. I'm fine with the late games.
I need my rest.
But, like, I'm not a normal person. Right, exactly. You need your rest. You need your beauty sleep. I understand. And so do a lot of other people. 8:30 is late. So I'm curious to see, Chris, because obviously we've got a plethora of shows across ESPN Wisconsin coming up tomorrow. I wonder how many of our hosts will actually see the entirety of the Bucks game tonight. Will you take the over-under of 50% of hosts across ESPN Wisconsin tomorrow will be up for the entirety of the Bulls game?
I will take the under.
Yeah, I will too. I will too. Homer will be asleep, right?
Homer will be asleep in the first quarter.
I think Jim Rutledge will be too, who obviously I deal with on a daily basis. Awesome stuff. Hey, you're listening to Bucks at 6 here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee and 100.5 ESPN Madison. Want to give you the phone line one last time, because I wanted to dive into some of your texts. What are you looking for? Who are you looking to step up tonight for Milwaukee in Game 2 against the Bulls? 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. That is the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. We'll get into some of your responses. We'll hear from Coach Mike Budenholzer and get into some predictions ahead of Game 2. That's next. It's Bucks at 6, 46 here on ESPN Wisconsin.
Welcome back to Bucks at 6 on ESPN Wisconsin and streaming on WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Who needs to step up in Game number 2 for the Bucks against the Chicago Bulls tonight at Fiserv Forum? We'll dive into that right now. It's Bucks at 6:51 here on ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Alex Stroph, hanging out with you for another couple of minutes as we get you ready for game number two. The NBA playoffs, man, they're in full swing. Good one right now between Brooklyn and Boston, game number two. You'll be able to hear that here in a couple minutes on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee as we join that one in the second quarter. Brooklyn leads by eight right now in that one. But I want to go to the First Midwest Bank talking text line. 800-990-3776 is the number for that. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. Jeff in Milwaukee says he wants to see Brook Lopez take a step up. He was solid in game one. We talked with Ben Brust about that a bit earlier in the program. He had 18 points, and for a guy that didn't play a majority of the regular season, I thought he was really, really good in game one. But Jeff in Milwaukee says, yeah, I want to see him step up in game number two. Coach Mike Budenholzer met with the media yesterday. He's also meeting with the media as we speak right now ahead of game number two tonight. But I do want to hear from Buddy. Talked a bit about Brook Lopez yesterday and his game one performance and what he expects from him moving forward. Here's Mike.
If there's a silver lining to him having missed, you know, significant parts of the season, I think he feels good. I think mentally he's in a great place, and certainly he's having a big impact on the game.
He certainly is having a big impact on the game. I mean, he can get those boards. He has an offensive and defensive presence in the paint, but offensively he's versatile. And we've known that since Brook Lopez joined the Milwaukee Bucks. He's one of those centers that can actually shoot the three ball. He shot five of them in game one, only made one, but nobody shot very well in game number one for the Bucks. Only 26% from outside, 40% from the field, both of which were better clips. Then the Bulls, who only shot 32% from in game one and 18% from outside. You can keep those numbers pretty similar ranges for Chicago. I think Milwaukee wins tonight by like 30 points. I'm not even joking. Like, I mean, if those are bad clips. 32% from the field, 18% from outside. If you can hold Chicago to similar numbers to that, I think Milwaukee wins as big as Memphis did over Minnesota last night, which was a 28-point victory for Memphis last night. So something interesting just to keep an eye on is what the Bucks do defensively. And I think, you know, they've always been one of those better defensive teams. Wesley Matthews making his way into the starting lineup as a constant. And Greg Matzik, who we talked to yesterday on the program, thought, yeah, that might be an all-playoffs thing. Wesley Matthews in that starting role. And I think that makes a lot of sense because he is really solid defensively. And you'll get some solid minutes from guys like Pat Connaughton and Grayson Allen off the bench who can provide an offensive spark. So something to keep an eye on as we move forward. But only 26% from outside for the Bucks in Game 1's win on Sunday. Mike Budenholzer, he didn't mince words. Offensively, they just need to be better.
We've got to improve our execution. We've got to improve, you know, our ability to move them and create cleaner, better looks.
It's as simple as that. I mean, it doesn't get much simpler than that, right? We've got to create cleaner, better looks. Yeah, damn right. I could be a basketball coach, I think, right? We need to execute better. We need to be cleaner. We need to be, I'm just kidding. Mike Budenholzer, one of the best in the biz. And I'm excited to see how he brings his group out because we expect that spark. We expect that fight. And we expect them to not have the rust that we've alluded to many times today that we saw in game one. They came out hot in the first quarter, but it was kind of downhill from there for the Bucks offensively in game number one. Don't expect that tonight. It's going to be a raucous Pfizer for them. They're going to be in front of a hot crowd in a game where they understand what this means, right? You lose this game, it's a tie game, you bring it to Chicago, or tie series, excuse me, you bring it to Chicago. That's not something you want to do, obviously. It's not something you want to do. You want to keep this out of reach as early as possible. 2-0, bring it to Chicago. If you slip in game three, you've still got a game lead in the series. So I expect Milwaukee to take care of business tonight. As for who we need to see step up, just a little bit of everybody other than Giannis, because I messes with Giannis. Giannis was terrific in game one for the most part. You know, the free throw shooting could always improve for that
guy. I messes with
Giannis. See what he did in game. I messes with Giannis.
I messes with Giannis.
Oh, Chris, that's going to get me every time you play it for the next couple months. I'm just telling you that I right now, man.
Giannis.
One more time. Yeah, I messes with Giannis. So do I, Shaq. So we'll see who steps up tonight. Chris Middleton is the guy I look to. We saw what we've seen many, many times what Chris Middleton's capable of, right? That guy can go off for 40 points. It's something he's done. He's capable of doing. He just needs to have a hot night. That's not what we saw on Sunday. I expect Chris to be the guy that steps up and is hot tonight. Want to see him continue to take those shots from outside. He shot seven of them, which was most of anybody on the Bucks on Sunday. Only made one. Make that 3 out of 7, 4 out of 7. Oh boy, you're in real, real good shape. So Chris Middleton is the guy I look to step up. Jeff in Milwaukee said Brooke Lopez. Ben in Madison says Wesley Matthews, the Madison guy, Wesley Matthews. He'd like to see him step up offensively. 6 points for him in game one, but defensively is what you look for, you know, where you want Wesley Matthews to really, you know, chime in. So overall, the Bucks in a good spot, and we'll keep an eye on this other series. Now, Brooklyn with a 14-point lead over Boston, 45-31 with about 7.5 minutes left in the first half in that one. Again, your other game tonight besides Chicago, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn and Boston is Philadelphia and Toronto. The 76ers lead that series 2-0 right now, tipping off here in just a few minutes. And you'll get Brooklyn-Boston coming up next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Here in Madison, you get Spain and Fitz heading into Bucks and Bulls at starting at 8 o'clock. So you'll get Spain and Fitz for an hour, then Bucks and Bulls with Dave Kane, Ben Bruss, Justin Garcia anchoring the coverage from Fiserv Forum. If you're going to the game, cheer loud. If you're going down to the Stadium District, no Deer District party tonight. That is canceled due to the weather. But make sure you go party it up in some of your favorite establishments nearby as you cheer on the Bucks. Game 2, Bucks-Bulls tonight, 8:30 tip, 8 o'clock coverage starts on 620 WTMJ and 100.5 ESPN Madison. Back tomorrow, we'll chat with Justin Garcia and Jonathan Hood of ESPN 1000 tomorrow right here on Bucks at 6.